Now, what makes a good leader? Connie Orbach reports.
I want to welcome you to the first presidential debate. The participants tonight are Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Choosing a leader can be a long and complicated affair with lots of stages, rules, and traditions.
The 90-minute debate is divided into six segments, each 50 minutes long. We'll explore three topic areas tonight: achieving prosperity, America's direction, and securing America.
And it will often involve millions of people voting en masse based on information gleaned from months of campaigns. It's far from simple, but humans are not the only animals to elect leaders. So when it comes to choosing positions of power, how do we match up? I asked Marta Manzer from the University of Zurich to talk me through what the animals do.
Either it's being the strongest or being the most clever, having the best knowledge. But usually it's not just an easy way to become the leader. But once you are the leader, then it might not take that much to really suppress the others and to accept you as leader. Only if you show weaknesses, the other group members might try to overrule you and take that position.
And why is it that within these groups they're so happy to follow one leader? Why would you make that decision?
It's probably the least energetic way. If I always have to make decisions and I have to convince the other individuals to follow that decision, I have to invest quite a lot of energy. And I think also in humans, that's probably very similar, as long as that's the much easier way than to invest a lot of input, time and energy, we are quite happy to follow other individuals.
Animals will often choose the easiest option. If they can use less energy following someone else than making their own decisions, well, all the better. It's definitely quicker, but not particularly rigorous. Us humans would surely know that the loudest in the group isn't necessarily the best.
If you have a group of humans, of individuals, and you tell them they should just try to be in the group, but you tell one of those people a specific information, for example, they should go to the location in the north, that individual should then obviously try to lead the rest of the group and tries to make the way up north. And because of that individual has a specific aim, it probably behaves quite dominant. It's very determined. It's going in that direction. The rest of the other people, they don't have a goal, so they just follow the most obvious determined individual. And we find that in humans, we find that in meerkats, we find that in fish. So that's a very common occurrence in the animal kingdom.
So when thinking about something like the presidential election, it might be the person that shouts loudest and longest might tempt us.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think in elections like that, it's the emotions that count. And then really, if you are the most convincing by being the loudest, by behaving very obvious, a lot of people might just follow that. They might not look what the content of that person really is. They might just follow the most obvious signs.
Oh dear, maybe we're not as diligent as we thought. But no worries. If recent UK politics has taught us anything, when we're unhappy with our leader, we can always attempt a coup.
Jeremy Corbyn has lost the confidence of 8 out of 10 Labour MPs and has been hit by as many as 60 resignations from his front bench team. He looks set to face a leadership challenge, but Mr Corbyn says he won't betray his supporters by resigning.
And we're not alone in that either. As Oxford University's Isabel Watts found out, pigeons will form a coup of their own.
When a leader of a pigeon flock had incorrect information, instead of the information being passed straight down the hierarchy and therefore the whole flock taking an incorrect route, which could be very detrimental, that the hierarchy was actually able to reorganise itself and therefore the leader bird was no longer at the front and therefore its information was no longer as key to the flock's decision making. And therefore, actually, the flock were able to fly the same route as they'd flown in training without taking in this incorrect information. And this was quite a key result, and it showed that the hierarchy, although being very stable, is actually a flexible system, and that they can use this flexibility in situations where the performance of the whole flock would suffer if it was inflexible.
Desperate times calls for desperate measures when they know that their leader is
possibly going to cause problems for everyone, they can, let's say, relegate that leader and put them further down the pecking order. And how do you send a pigeon in the wrong direction in the first place?
We use a process called clock shifting. And clock shifting essentially jet lags birds, so it causes them to have a faulty compass. And what you can do is basically place the birds in a light-tight room for a few days, where you can turn the lights on and off at times shifted compared to real sunrise and sunset. And therefore you can reset their internal body clocks to become shifted. And this means once they're released, they'll misinterpret the sun's position by a predictable magnitude. So this means that by just clock shifting the leaders, we can create birds that have incorrect navigational information compared to the rest of the flock.
And what if they don't want to lose their authority? What if your pigeon wants to remain a leader? Can they keep control of the pack?
It's probably unlikely, because I think if all the other birds want to, for example, fly right and the leader wants to fly left, the leader doesn't have much choice, because either it flies alone or it thinks it's more important to fly as a flock, which is often the case for pigeons, and therefore I'll just follow. But we don't exactly know the mechanism behind when the leader loses its leadership, because either the leader could choose not to lead or the followers could choose not to follow.
Well, there you have it. Even in politics, we're not that special. But when choosing our next leaders, let's make a pact to contain our animal instincts and try to look a little deeper.
Connie Orbach reporting, and she was hearing from Oxford University's Isabel Watts, and before her, Marta Mansa from the University of Zurich.